We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, I'm going to get right to it with the question, what is it like living with a bitch?
You know what? As long as you give her belly scratches and give her some treats once in a while, it's not too bad.
Well, we should point out that a bitch is actually the technical term for a female dog, particularly when that dog competes in, well, competitions, right?
Yeah, in confirmation. Yeah, the beauty pageant circuit, as I call it. They separate the dogs by dogs for the males and the females in the class. You know, the bitch class, so dogs and then bitches. And then they work up the chain, and eventually you get to a best of breed competition at the show where you do have the dogs and the bitches in the ring together. So that's just how, bitches and is the technical term for a female dog.
So wait a minute. So a male dog is just a dog? They don't have anything beyond that?
Yep. Nope. They're dogs. They're dogs.
That's really weird. And you would think, because of political correctness over the years, they would have come up with a different term than bitch, but that goes back decades, right? To what the...
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, my wife Jennifer will be talking about upcoming shows and different things, and she'll use the term, and I'm like, are you quoting hip-hop lyrics, or are you talking about a dog show? I can't tell. Some bitch is going to show. I'm like, are we talking about, like, oh, dogs? Okay.
All right. Now, your dog, Poppy, did quite well in the bitch category over the weekend, correct?
She did. I won't bore you with the details, but for the weekend, they were up at a show in Fargo. You know, and these shows you show, like, you know, there could be one or two shows, you know, times to go in and get points, like, per day. And it went up on Thursday. The show started Friday. They ended showing yesterday and came back. So there were 4 points available for the weekend. And that's based on the number of bitches that were there, right?
Yeah.
And she, Poppy, ended up with winner's bitch all four of the days. There was two shows on Saturday, two chances to get points. So she came away with 4 points. So she went up there. She had 6 points. They started doing this, Bob, in 2019. Poppy, we adopted her at the end of 2018.
Yep.
She never done this before. This is someone who's afraid of dogs until she was 31. But Poppy has a pedigree from, you know, her dad was at Westminster years ago. And Jennifer said, I feel like I owe it to this dog to learn this. And so, and they were sidelined mostly last year with COVID,
sure.
COVID, you know, a lot of these shows were canceled. So there weren't a whole lot of opportunities to go out and compete. So this has been basically 2 years that they've been doing this, because last year was a kind of a wash for them.
Yep.
That they've been doing this. So they came into this weekend up in Fargo with 6 points. They leave with 10 points. And now what they have, in order to get their championship, that's what they're shooting for the American Kennel Club AKC championship, they need 15 points, including two majors. And a major is where there's, you win the way she is now, but there's at least 3 points. I mean, there's enough dogs there, and every state determines how many dogs have to be in the ring for a major win. And so she has to get at least, you know, two of these major wins. If she gets, and the minimum is 3 points. So if she gets 2 3-point majors, she's done. She gets her letters in front of her name. She's got a lot of letters behind her name because of other competitions, but she's working on getting letters in front of her name. So,
well,
it was a good weekend for them.
All I can say is I hope that she keeps on bitching. And now I want to ask you, I'm sorry, I just had to do that. There's the story with Fauci and the Wuhan lab, and I've never doubted that it was, said it was intentional, but I've never doubted that it was released, and it didn't have to do with a wet market in bats. And I also, Psychic Ruth Lorden had said this, and I was skeptical and said no. But after what India said over the weekend, it makes you wonder if it was released into India, because it was ending in the states here in the United States, and then there was that surge in India. So I wouldn't put anything past the Chinese.
No, I wouldn't either. And I think there definitely needs to be an investigation as to not only the origin of it. Was it lab created? I think it needs to look into were there any U.S. tax dollars funding this? And like we said, Bob, it seems like a no-brainer from the beginning, unless you had your head in the sand or were suffering so much from Trump derangement syndrome you just couldn't see it because he was saying it. But you have a virus lab in Wuhan. The virus originates in Wuhan, and you don't have people are being criticized for suggesting perhaps it came out of the lab, not from a bat at the wet market. And I think there also needs to be an investigation as to what China's activity, their actions after it was released, right? Did you know people being put on planes going around the world? The actions they took to try to mitigate, which are seem to be other than protecting, you know, keeping it from spreading in their own country, they didn't do a very good job of protecting the rest of the world.
No,
and I think I think it's on the table to look at what type of, you know, you heard this. I think it was Trump was down in North Carolina this weekend, and he mentioned it. There's been some discussion online this weekend. There's some discussion on the Sunday morning shows about reparations if it is determined that this was released either negligently or intentionally from China. And I think it starts with everybody that owes money to China is going to get their debts canceled.
Well, I mean,
China has to pay the price.
They should have to pay the price, and that would be a small price if they if it was found that it was released and they lied about it. Because it's, I mean, look at the number of people who died. I mean, it is murderous what happened. There's just so much going on with the world, and some of it is that would be at the end of the, you know, or at the top of the heap of the things that are just outrageous. But there's other things that are outrageous too. The fact that there was buildings again being burned in Minneapolis, and there were protests over a guy who was attempted to arrest him for being a murderer, and he started shooting at police. That was what the police claim, or actually it was a U.S. Marshal Task Force, and people are you can't protest every time someone is shot. You really need to look at the facts, but they want to see body cam footage. Well, there is no body cam footage because U.S. Marshals don't use body cams.
Right. That's exactly right. And this happened in Uptown. And, you know, Uptown is one of the nicer areas of Minneapolis, or the few remaining nice areas. And I lived there years ago when I was in law school. I met my wife
there. I lived there too.
We started dating. We were living Uptown. It's a great area, right? And you would have thought that the mayor and the city council would have had the, you know, law enforcement out there, or having the governor call in the National Guard or do something to protect that area, because a lot of people from outside of Minneapolis, that's where if they're going to Minneapolis, they're going to downtown, the North Loop, or Uptown. And I said it was pretty kind of symbolic that we had a dumpster on fire during the protests in Uptown with no police around. It's like, yes, Minneapolis has really become a dumpster. The leadership has become a dumpster fire.
Jeff, I have not gone to, and I know your office is there, but I haven't gone to Minneapolis in over a year, and some of it was COVID, but I have zero interest in going to Minneapolis. As a matter of fact, I have a decision to make when the Vikings start playing again, whether or not I want to go downtown to cover the games, because I would feel safe going to Target Field or Target Center because of the two Rams. I don't feel safe, and I'm not even talking about my personal safety of being accosted or attacked, but my car, and if it's parked on the street, I mean, it's going to be vandalized. It's like in the Old West is what it's become. There's lawlessness there. And that city is run by buffoons. I do think the mayor is trying more than anyone on his city council.
And unfortunately, the residents keep putting these buffoons back in. I mean, you get what you pay. You get what you deserve. I mean, everybody is just so. It's such a one party system in that city.
Well, they're destroying the city. There is no way anyone would book a convention to go there. Not after all this. I mean, the convention center.
All these money on, the state has spent all these this money on these sports stadiums, and you think they're going to get another Final Four regional or anything like that? No.
No, and they don't deserve it. You know, turn convention center into a flea market. That's what it should be. And quickly, we need to wrap up. We need to wrap up here, Jeff. But you had put something on social media, and I had this conversation with Steve Vukusky from Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air in Iowa. He was having difficulty finding people that would work, and he had an ad in, and the day that the $300 a week was lifted in the state, that $300 a week going as unemployment benefits as an add-on for people, that came out. He took the ad down because he said he got inundated with people that are looking for work. And you said in your neighborhood, the coffee shop is no longer serving on Sundays because they can't find help. And yep. I use the example Friday, and I'll use it again. I've stopped at the Chipotle in Wayzata. Well, now you can't order in the store. It has to be online because many people don't want to work because they could make more money by sitting home and getting that $1,200 a month and not work. Well, right. If you put an end to it, it would get people working. And businesses
that's exactly
have to
right.
close.
That's what it needs to do. And in the red states, they are cutting off the federal unemployment benefits, and people are going back to work. But the governor wants to put out platitudes on Twitter without really addressing the issue because his base won't like that. But that's the answer. I've got besides the local coffee shop that can't open on Sundays, I've got a client of mine who's a landscaping business. One of his businesses, and we were talking about scheduling some work to be done at our house, and he said, "I don't have a crew right now." Are you kidding? He said, "No, I don't have. There's nobody out there that I can hire. There's not people out there to hire for a crew. So this is really our who's taken the teeth. This whole thing has been our small businesses.
Yes,
and this needs to stop. And they need to get these people back to work. And you want to get the economy back and running again. Cut off this. Stop paying people more to not work than they could make working."
Well, Jeff, you and I both have work to do, so I'm going to say we're going to take a quick break, and the BS Show will be right back. We got more work to do.